Most of you probably know the story of the boy and the starfish. You know, the old man who's walking along the beach and he sees this boy and he's throwing starfish out into the ocean. And the old man says, you know, why are you doing this? And he said, well, you know, the starfish have been thrown up onto the beach. They need to be thrown back or else they're going to die. And he said, but there's thousands. I mean, there's tens of thousands of starfish on here. I mean, how could you possibly make a difference? And the boy thinks about it for a second. He picks another one up. He throws it back in the ocean. And he said, well, to that one, I made a difference. And so that can be a great story. But the pushback always from that story is, you know, yeah, I mean, how much of a difference can you really make? But some don't like that story because it's kind of sappy or there's not really much justice in that. So on the other hand, you may have heard the story about, you know, the babies drowning in the river. You know, when, you know, some people are walking along, they see these babies there. I mean, they're literally drowning. And so a couple of them go jump into the river to fish them out. And this one is just kind of standing there. And then he goes running up the bank and the people inside the river saying, what are you doing? You need to come help us, you know, rescue these babies. And the guy's like, no, I'm going to go see why the babies are drowning in the first place. So it's the idea of mercy or justice. And maybe one of the reasons folks don't like the starfish story is because it's just not enough. And I always wondered, well, what if the guy just, you know, helped the boy out? Because then maybe someone else might have come along, or someone else, or someone else. What if others had joined in? Because whatever story that you want to use, the point is, we can't do it alone. You may have seen, you know, as the movie Justice League has come out, they have that poster that says, you can't save the world alone. I mean, it's true. We can't save the world alone. We can't help one another alone. It has to be all of us. And that's part of what Jesus is teaching in this story when he says, you give them something to eat. Because not only does it illustrate a great example that Jesus sets about boundaries, you know, that it's not just up to Jesus to do everything himself. It's not just about one person. And he also shows a great non-anxious presence in this story, right? Because the disciples are always freaking out all the time saying, Jesus, you need to do this. Jesus, you need to do this. And he just responds in a very calm way, but also in a way that promotes justice and says, no, you can do this just as well as anybody. It illustrates one of Jesus' greatest gifts, which is empowering others not just to go along for the ride, but to be side by side as that road and that ride is going. Because the kingdom of God is not about one person helping many. The kingdom of God is about how all of us help one another. Jesus doesn't want people to leave this place and this experience so that they may be physically fed, but he wants them to stay so that they may continue to receive and experience both physical and spiritual healing. Now that includes mercy and justice, because you can't preach justice to people who are starving right in front of you. Certainly, you can't preach the justice and the grace and the love of God if you have people starving right in front of you. On the other hand, you can't give bread in the name of Jesus Christ if you are also not working against the systems that make that bread so hard to get in the first place. Jesus does both. He does both mercy and justice, but he also shows that we don't do this by ourselves. You give them something to eat. We give. That's what we've been hearing for the last few weeks. This series and this season about stewardship has been about the reality that we need help to do what it is that God has called us to do. One of the ways that we need help is having the resources available to do the ministry that God has called us to do. So then the question might be, well, do I believe enough in what this church does? Do I believe enough in who this church is to support it with my giving? And then if the answer is yes, the next question might be, well, would my giving it even make a difference? I mean, look at this place. Look at all that it is, all the stuff that we have, all the facilities, all of the staff. What difference, make or break, would my offering really do for anything? But I want to tell you, as your pastor, as one of your pastors, as big, as incredible as First United Methodist Church is, it is not invulnerable to the anxiety that pretty much all churches are feeling right now. And that is the reality of decline. The reality that members and contributors that these churches have depended on for the last several decades are here no longer, and their giving levels are simply not being replaced. Now, that's the break of the difference. But I think what we need to focus on is the make of the difference. See, we're not interested in supporting the sustaining of the church, at least I'm not. Because even if you took away this building, even if you took away all this stuff, all the staff, all the facilities, that's not what makes First United Methodist Church. We are what make First United Methodist Church. You are what make First United Methodist Church. You give them something to eat, Jesus says. And that can feel overwhelming. It can be overwhelming to see and to acknowledge all of the suffering that is happening all around us. People who are starving, who are homeless, who are abused and neglected and alone. It can be so overwhelming that we simply do nothing. Because how could we possibly make a dent? How could we possibly make a difference with all of the injustice that goes on in the world? How could 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish ever really make a difference to over 5,000 hungry people? And so many times I either turn to the gospel of Jesus or I turn to the gospel of Tolkien in Lord of the Rings. And so as I was thinking about this, I mean, that's part of the whole story, right? How can these, 3-4 foot tall hobbits really change the world? And so the movie did it in one way, but in the book, it's a bit more expansive. So Elrond, who's one of the elf kings, says at one point that this quest that everybody's about to go on, this quest may be attempted by the weak with as much hope as the strong. Yet such is off the course of deeds that move the wheels of the world. And then it goes on to say, small hands do them because they must, while the eyes of the great are elsewhere. Now, in the movie, this is kind of summarized when Galadriel says to Frodo, even the smallest person can change the course of the future. But again, to take that up even another notch, we need to remember it's not just one. It's not just one person. It is the many. It is us together. So what is the real miracle in this story? I mean, is it that Jesus somehow is able to magically turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into food that is able to sustain over 5,000 people, and then so much so that they have 12 baskets left over? I mean, that's one way to interpret the miracle. Other people have said, well, maybe the miracle is when the disciples actually went out and said, well, okay, maybe if we take a little piece and we hand it over there, and maybe if we take a little piece and we hand it over there, and then this person, and yeah, I think we might have enough. And then they just keep going and going and going, not really knowing if that last piece that they give was going to be the last ultimate piece. But every time they looked in that basket, they thought, well, yeah, maybe we do have a little more that we can give. And before they knew it, over 5,000 people had been fed. What if the miracle actually just started with the words, well, maybe if? Maybe if. And if we're really honest with ourselves, how many times can we count the times that we have been to a Methodist church and we've run out of food? I mean, can anybody think about it? I can count, like I think I can count on one hand the times that we've actually run out of food in a Methodist ministry. See, when we give, especially when we give together, we show who Jesus is. Even if it's not from our own hands, even if it doesn't happen right at that moment, the love and the grace and the justice of Jesus Christ is able to come from our hands today. So hopefully some of you, I know some of you attended Lawn Fest. Actually, I think we ended up calling it Carpet Fest. because it ended up, you know, inside because of the rain. But it was a fantastic experience. I mean, there was the music and there was the food and there was the games. I don't think we ran out of hot dogs or hamburgers. I could be wrong, but I think we had enough for everybody. But it was just a fantastic event. And the thing was, you know, we were texting each other, some of us, after the night was done. And, you know, it was all like, oh, this is awesome. And yeah, it was so much fun. And then Pastor Melissa said, we needed this. I mean, we needed this. We needed a time, and maybe we even needed to have it in this space where people were closer together and we could kind of see everything on the whole. At least I think I did. Because what I saw was an entire community of folks just simply embracing that need. That need just to have fun. That need just to socialize, that need to sing and to share food together and to see kids running around. We just needed that. We needed community. We know that there is a lot of stress right now and that there has been from some time, even before these hurricanes. Some of us are going through very tough times and times that we have been in for quite a while. Especially in a church like ours that has so much going on all the time, that's always in a busy season. And in fact, we finally just named it in staff one day. We said, you know, there really is no busy season because that means that there's an unbusy season. That's not true. It's just constantly busy. I don't think there is a season anymore. But in the midst of all that, we can feel like we are drowning in yet another pool of stuff going on. And now the church is telling us about stuff that we need to all be involved in, and the church is telling us about stuff that we need to give our resources to. But we know at the heart of all of that, this is supposed to be a sanctuary, not just a place, but a way of being. In other words, we are to be a sanctuary. And so we come to this place to find peace and hope and joy and love. But then we go forth so that we may be that for others. Others who are suffering, others who are hungry, others who are stressed, who need to know that they have not been forgotten in the midst of whatever tough time they are going through. Because that's what we all need. And we need help to keep that focus, that in the midst of all the stuff that we are doing or in the midst of all the stuff that we could do, this remains a sanctuary of peace, love, joy, and hope. That is how we make a difference. And it's one of the things that I love about this service is the possibility, the many different possibilities of how we can do that, of how we can be that, and not just in this space, but how we can go out into Lakeland and beyond to be that sanctuary that we experience here every Sunday morning. The possibilities that we can be a sanctuary, that we can be a part of something, that we can be a part of finding and sharing that meaning and that purpose and that hope, that whether we are an individual or a family, we know that we can make a difference. Blessed are you, Jesus says, who are hungry now, for you will be fed. Not someday, not in the sweet by and by, but right now. Blessed are you who are hungry, because you will be fed. And I think what Jesus meant by that also is because you will see how it is that you can feed others. The kingdom of God is present in Jesus Christ, in what he says, in what he does, and then how we do likewise. That is how the kingdom of God is made real. When Jesus blesses that bread, and he lifts it up and he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples. I mean, that's why it keeps happening over and over again in the Gospel of Luke. That's why on that Emmaus journey, the two travelers didn't recognize that Jesus was Jesus until he took that bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And then somehow they were able to see that that's who Jesus was. Because Jesus is not just in what he says, Jesus is in what he does. And so when we do likewise, we are sharing Jesus Christ with each other and with the world. That is the kingdom of God. See, the Gospel of Luke is all about finding the lost. And so today we proclaim that we are going to do our part in finding the lost, in being the eyes that see the ignored, in being the ears who hear those cries, in being the hands who reach out to those who who are forgotten. How do we want to be a part of that? And we can do that in mercy. We can do that in justice. We can do that in our prayers, our presence, our service, our witness. And we can do it in our gifts. And these promises that we make as people of the church, of First United Methodist Church, we answer that call that Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And when we make a difference, we do so by saying, okay, here we go. And so here we go. As we respond to Jesus' call, by saying, I'm going to help. I'm going to help to feed the hungry. I will help to clothe the naked. I will help to visit those who have been forgotten. I will help in my presence. I will help in my prayers. I will help in my service. I will help in my gifts. And I know it may not be, you know, a huge thing, but I know that I'm teaming up with other people that I am worshiping with. I know that I'm teaming up with people who I will never meet or see or know in this church. But I know that in the midst of all of that, people are going to be fed. And so this card that we place down is a symbol of that participation. Now, for some of us, we may have that physical symbol. For others of us, maybe we already mailed it in. Maybe we responded electronically. Maybe we used the QR code that's provided. If you don't have a physical representation, that's not really what this is about. It's about how it is that we want to participate in the ministries of Jesus Christ. And there are many different ways that you can do that. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I feel guilty when the offertory is passed and I don't have something physical to drop in there because, you know, I either give online or it goes in the mail or it gets automatically debited out of my bank account. God doesn't care. If we are responding to what it is that Jesus Christ is calling us to do, then that's all that matters. So maybe for some of us, Christ is calling us to come forward to physically drop something into the basket to say, well, maybe if I just do this, maybe it really can make a difference. If that is us today, then I invite us to come forward as we feel led to say that, you know, this doesn't seem like it's a whole lot, but I think it can make a difference. And then we say, well, maybe if it goes here, and maybe if it goes here, and maybe if it goes there. Jesus says, just you give them something to eat. And so let that be our chance this morning. Wherever it is you feel led to go, let us accept that invitation and come as we feel led. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for those who have answered the call, who when we see those who are starving and we see those who are cold and alone, that instead of just saying, oh God, I hope you help these people, we hear that call that says, you can be a part of this too. And so we honor those gifts that have been shared this morning. And so help us as First United Methodist Church to use them in the ways that the givers have been called to give, that we use them responsibly, that we use them to respond in the ministries that you have called us to be a part of. Help us to remember that even past this day, past this place, you are always calling us to be in service, for in that, your kingdom is made real. We do pray this in your holy name. Amen. We're going to get these guys. Don't worry. Because, you know, there was probably those folks who were in the very, very back of the fields who, you know, were listening to Jesus. They were straining to hear him. And the disciples thought, oh, there's a few more. And look, we have this excess. We still have enough. There's plenty to go around. When we hear that call that Jesus gives us to go out into the world to feed those who are hungry, perhaps the miracle is not that food just magically appears. Perhaps the miracle is that we who are holding it are able to say, well, maybe this can go here, and maybe it can go there, and maybe it can do more. Maybe it really can make a difference. What if that's the church that we could be? What if that's the church we already are? Let us go out into the world and live the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, no, it's not just about me, it's about you. It's about us. Let us give them something to eat. That's what we have become a part of this day. We will continue to do so. So thank you. Thank you for making a difference, knowing that when we come together, no matter how big or how small the gifts may be, It is incredible because it goes out in the name of Jesus Christ. So let us go in the name of Jesus Christ, representing the bread and the cup, to feed a world that doesn't just need to be fed, it needs to be healed. So let us go and serve and to be that healing that we have received. Go in peace. Amen.